Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I was really uncertain which message to bring at which time today. One 10 o'clock hour on Isaiah 59 or this one now from Hebrews 11. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. None. And it's not like I prepare the best messages for 11 o'clock. Save the best for last. Not at all. Not at all. There's times when 10 o'clock hour is over with that I think, let's just go home. It's been said. What else can be said? And I don't prepare messages with visitors in mind. There's no promise that there will be any. Like today. There's not a one. Well, in Hebrews 11, now, verse 6 needs to be dealt with a little bit more fully because it's so important. What he says here is life and death is salvation. What he says here in Hebrews 11, verse 6 is salvation itself. Are you interested? Well, he says here in verse 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, does that mean if you just believe sovereign grace, if you believe that God is real, God is real, you believe that Jesus Christ came and died, and so on. You believe what the Bible says that you're saved. You cannot be saved without believing those things. But he goes on to say here in this verse that he goes on to describe faith. He goes on to give an example, several examples. That's what this whole chapter is about. Examples of people that really believe God. How do you know they believe God? By what they did. Just like James said, didn't he? You say, you believe, you say, without works, you're saved. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And that's what this is going on to say. It's going to show us examples of people that really believe God. And God's the one that did this. God's the one that wrote this and said, do you believe God now? Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. All right? Here's how you know. Here's how a person, this is what a person will do if they really believe God. All right? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that's so profound and deep. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how good it seems to be. That's what he said. Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That is, now, if we're not found in Christ, accepted in the Beloved, if we do not have the righteousness which is of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, if we do not have that, if His blood is not shed for the remission of our sins, if we do not have this love of His shed abroad in our hearts, love for the truth. And we're going to see how that's manifested. Then it's impossible. possible. Please God. Opposite is so. He's angry. Angry with everyone who does not, who has not. The unacceptable, rejected by God, a young and old alike, despised by God. Hated. Now, we saw last Sunday, I quoted to you that verse that says, even the plowing of the wicked is evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, the good old, honest, hard working farmer out there plowing his field, if he's not found in Christ, he's evil in the sight of the Lord. And what he's doing is wrong. That's serious. It, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. John, we better learn what faith is, then, shouldn't we? Huh? Without it, it's impossible to please God. God is not pleased. He's highly displeased. It's not going to be all right. It's not peace, peace. God has a wonderful... Oh, it's not that at all. It's impossible to please God. Why is that? Why do we keep insisting, talking about character of God and so on? And every time we preach, we talk about God being holy, don't we? Just why? Well, because He is. That's why. Because He is. You can't describe God, you can't talk about God unless you first talk about His chief attribute or character. He's holy. Because He is. And because most preachers are not saying that. So we're loudly declaring that point, which very few are declaring. He is. He's holy. That's where the gospel starts. God loveth righteousness and hateth iniquity. God's of too pure eyes to look on iniquity. God looketh on the heart, Scripture says. And without being made holy or righteous by Jesus Christ, without Him making us holy and righteous, God hates us. As plain as that, He hates us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without this righteousness of Christ imputed to us, God hates us. Now, is that just a doctrine? Well, Paul said in Romans 10, he said, there's some people that are zealous for God. They have a zeal toward God. Oh, they're sincere. They're very sincere. Well, that saved you. Saved for ourselves. In Romans 10, verse 1, he said, they have a zeal for God, but they're ignorant. Not according to knowledge. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. That means self-righteousness. And no matter who it is, no matter how sincere they are, no matter how it looks, they're either trusting Christ alone, they're either trusting Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did and where He is now, alone, completely, 100%, not 99, 100%, trusting Christ alone, or they got some self-righteousness. And God's anger hates it. That's how serious it is. It's more than doctrine, it's life. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Read on here, verse 6. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Alright? Many talk about coming to God. People talk about believing God, worshiping God, coming to God. I talked to God, or I called on God, I prayed to the Lord, or coming to God, you know. He found God. Oh, did he? Did you? I talked to God. Oh, did you? Now, I came to God. How'd you do that? Describe Him to me. Who is He? I believe God. Do you? Tell me about it. Without this faith, now it's impossible. You come into God. This is what must be. Read on. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Why do we continually declare who God is? Because if you don't know, if we don't know, if we don't believe, I mean from the heart, that He is God, we're lost.
That's how serious it is.
God is God, holy, just, sovereign. All right, now who else is God? We must believe that He is. But who is? What? He, who? He it is. Who? This is He of whom the prophets gave witness. He. People sat down one time and gazed up at a man hanging on a cross and said, and sitting down, they watched him there. Who? Him. Who is he? Who is he? Well, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Christ said in John 8, verse 24, he said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. But you are what? That he is. Not that He just exists, but that He is God. Not that just He's the Son of God. He's God manifesting again. He's God. Even the disciples were confused about this. In John 14, they said, Lord, show us the way. He said, He said, show us the way. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to the Father, go to prepare a place for you. He said, well, show us how to get there, how to get to God. He said, I am. Philip said, well, show us the Father. Philip, I've been so long time with you. You haven't known me. He that hath seen me. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Who is? Jesus Christ is. Who? The everlasting Father. Call His name. Coming to God now, He said, no man cometh unto the Father but how? By me. Why is that? If you're going to come to God, you've got to go to God. You come to God, you come to Christ, because He is God. See, I don't understand, preacher. I don't either. That's what it says. Nobody understands fully. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is. No less than God. No less. Equal to the Father. Must believe. Now, listen. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. We're flesh. No man, Scripture says, no man hath seen God at any time. This is what throws the so-called Jehovah Witnesses and all these other cults. This is what throws them, verses like that. No man hath seen God at any time. So, and I've had them argue with me, well, if Jesus Christ is God, then He can't be God if no man's seen God at any time. Well, God is Spirit, yes. But God was manifest in the flesh. God robed His Spirit in a body. And He came down here. Just because He was robed in flesh doesn't mean He was flesh. He just robed His Spirit so flesh could see Him. Understand? And we never will see God, will we? Will we? Scripture says no man can see God. Will we? Job said, I'm going to see Him with my eyes. God! Who? Who's He going to see? John said, I saw it. Who? Like a lamb. the Son of God manifest in the flesh. Why? Because we're always going to be flesh. You know that? We're always going to be flesh. Is that right? Huh? He's going to give us a new body? Like unto the old, yet without sin? Isn't that right? Tell the scripture. We're always going to be flesh. How are we ever going to see God? God maintains that body. He that cometh to God must believe He is. No man has seen God. The only begotten Son, He hath declared God. He hath declared He is God. God manifest in the flesh. Anyone desires to know God, speak to God, be spoken to by God, live with God, they must believe Jesus Christ is God. Right? John 14:1, He said, you believe in God? Believe also. Believe in God? Yeah, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. He is Jehovah. Sid Kinder. Shama. Raya. Raypa. Now, he sure is. This is the true God and our Savior. They must believe that He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. The way, the truth, the life, the Lord, our righteousness, the only man approved of God. Now, these are not merely questions of theology, but the difference between knowing the true God and the one whom He hath sent, or that bodily manifestation. And he that cometh to God, read it with me now. He that cometh to God, read on here, verse 6. He that cometh to God, Scripture says, to whom cometh? To whom cometh? To Christ cometh. Must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right? You believe everything that I said just now, up to this point. Do you? Or what is it? I've just been quoting Scripture, haven't I? I told my opinion. All right, this is how you know. This is how you know somebody really believes God. All right? That's not just the head knowledge. Yeah, I believe that preacher. That's good. That's good. Good preaching. All right. You must believe He is, and. It's a big little word there. And salvation hinges on this little word, and. This is how you know. And He, God, is a rewarder of them, those that come to God, those that come to Christ, those that believe that He is. God is a rewarder of them that diligently with me. Somebody. Give me a diligent seeker. Make me a diligent seeker. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Alright? What pleases God? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works is dead. How do you know faith is faith? Him that diligently seeks Him. That's the reason we read Psalm 34. David said, I sought the Lord. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him. I sought the Lord, found him. Psalm 27, verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire into the temple. And on down there in verse 7 and 8, he said, you told me, seek my face. This is Psalm 27. Thou sayest, seek my face. And so what did I say? David said, well, I'm a diligent seeker. Not proudly, not presumptuously, but just doing what God said by His grace. David said, you said, seek my face, so that's what I'm going to do. Thy face will I seek. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to the word. Taking heed, listening, sitting up, listening very carefully what the word said. Taking heed according to the word. And then the next verse says this, and I've never quoted this in conjunction with that. Listen to it. Here's the next verse in Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man, young woman, cleanse their way, that is, be found of God, holy, righteous, accepted by God, by taking heed according to thy word. Here's the next verse. With my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. Now listen to this. Listen to this verse of Scripture in Proverbs. The Proverbs says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart, not the head, the heart. And so, listen to this. Psalm 84 says this. Psalm 84, verse 2 said this. He said, my heart and my flesh cries out to thee, O God. My heart, now you see they're vitally connected. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A man who's seeking God, a young person, a woman, whoever's seeking God, crieth out to God. My heart and my flesh crieth out to God. Listen to me now. We can't say that our heart is in this if our flesh is not. In other words, whatever a man or a woman or a young person is into, really into, that's where they are. You follow me? Whatever we're really into, the word diligent means craving. Whatever we really crave, that's where we'll be. We'll be going after it. Very simple illustration. A person really wants to get in to see a ball game or see a race, car race, or see a concert or whatever. If they really, really want to see that person or that thing, they'll stand in line. That's where they'll be. Do what they think. Nor can we say, listen, we can't say that our heart's in it just because our flesh is. I've seen many a body in the pew, but that's all that was there. Right at this moment. Just because bodies are in the pew doesn't mean hearts are. But you can't have, they both have feet. It's my heart and my flesh. And this is what we're going to talk about for a few more minutes, okay? I've only been 15 minutes. It says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. Now look at that word. Seek what? Not of what? Him. Him. Now everybody's interested in heaven, I think. Huh? He's not a rewarder of them that seek in heaven. Everybody likes to get religion, you know. Like to quit their bad and evil ways and straighten up and get religion, you know. It makes a person feel good. He got religion. That's not here. Fire escape. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody needs a way out, needs an insurance policy. That's not it. Once again, Psalm 27, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord, the house of the Lord, to behold what? The beauty of the Lord. Him. Fanny Crosby never saw anything in this world. She was born blind. She never saw anything in this life. he never saw. And she said in that song, she said, "Oh, someday I'm going to see. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory." Heaven, she couldn't say, "Oh, a palace." She never even seen one. "Oh, you have to see our place." You never saw anything. Red, blue, yellow. Sky, look at the sky, Fanny. Can't see it. Blind. "Look at me, Fanny. Don't I look good?"
"You don't. You all look the same to me. I'm blind."
"What are you looking forward to seeing, Fanny?" She saw all the things she needed to see in this life. She never saw a picture of Jesus. She saw him. Oh, she never saw the light, did she? She was in darkness all her day, but she saw him. It was the light. Well, now she sees clearly, doesn't she? Why? She sees him. Anybody seen him, taken up with him? Nothing else. All read her hymns, sing her hymns. That's all. He was the theme of her hymn. Her desire. "One thing if I desire of the Lord." That's what I'm going to write hymns about. Hymns about him. "He's a rewarder of them that seek diligently him." This whole religious world is seeking heaven, mama. Believers seek him. He's altogether loved. He's all I need. All I need. Well, he's then the diligent man. Diligence. What's diligence mean? Okay? Diligence. What's diligent mean? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, people, if part of this diligence is sitting up right now and listening very carefully to what I'm about to say about diligence. You're not diligently seeking unless you absolutely give me your undivided attention. Diligence. What is it to diligently seek? He's a rewarder then of diligently seek. Diligent, not half-hearted, not part-time, not sometimes, not one time, but diligent. What is it? Let me give you an example. When I was courting that young woman, used to be young. She's now in her 40th year on this earth. But at one time, she was very young. Well, that young lady that I was courting years ago, 23 years ago, she was the one I desired. I craved her. I had to. So what did I do? I called her. How often did I call you? Huh? Was there a day that went by? I wonder. I called her. I diligently called her. I visited her. How often? We enjoyed a little anniversary dinner together last night. We were reminiscing how that, you know, it's time for me to go. When I was at her house, it was time 2 or 3 hours before that. And she said, "Don't go." And I said, "Oh, I don't want to. Oh, don't go. I don't want to." "One more kiss for the road. Okay, make it 2. Visited her. Just couldn't tear myself away from her. Couldn't wait to get off the caboose to run to her. Is that not right? Why? I loved her. I diligently went after her.
I forsook all others. I had no friends for 3 years while I dated her. One of them had called me. This is John, your best friend.
Huh?
John, like the boys are going out tonight. I'm sorry. There's one I want to be with. Y'all have fun.
Let me ask you this. Do I have her? Is she mine? Why? I diligently sought her. Huh? How do you get the picture?
You want Christ? You'll go where He is. Every time He's there. Somebody says, I don't know Christ. I'm interested in the gospel.
Are you now? Are you now? I remember, and please believe me when I say this, this is all by His sovereign grace. Anybody seeks Him is because God made him do so in the day of His power. He gets all the glory. But Joe, the fact is, He put this in the Bible and said, you're not going to find Him unless you diligently seek Him. Where the rubber meets the road.
As a young man, the Lord started revealing Himself to me.
I went where that gospel's being preached. I heard my pastor was going to preach somewhere. Can I go? I sit in the back seat.
Here is a good message by... Where is it? Let me see. I'll read it. Conference going on. Really? I'm going. Diligently. All upon Him. I called her daily. Really seeking Christ? Call on Him. Now, people, I have trouble with this, as this is not scriptural for a person to be seeking the Lord for years and not found. No, sir. You won't find examples like that in Scripture.
I don't know of anybody who really sought Him.
Now, I know the Lord begins a work, begins it with an interest and all that, but people, He that has begun a good work, will do it. Reveal Himself to you. Here's the fact of the matter. People will warn you again.
Diligence is to do it always, constantly, lifelong.
Maybe not still call you? Huh? Just still call you? I'm gone in length of time. Do I still call you? We've been married 100 years. Do I still call you? I'll never go anywhere for a whole day and I call my wife. I never. I'm married to. Have this fact, Jerry? Have this fact? Would never if I didn't think about it. Didn't call on it. I'd rather be with somebody else. I don't love her. Play on that. Huh? Diligently. And I told you last week how the diligent means crazy. Crazy. And it also means demanding. It means demanding. When I asked her to marry me, I wasn't so much asking as demanding. Huh?
And she said, no. I said, well, we'll see about that. I will not let you go until you marry me.
Now that's true. That's true. And that is exactly what James said.
I will not let you go until you marry me.
One person, you want to know Christ. Oh, I'm praying, I'm calling. Are you now? Christ said, go home, get in your closet, and don't come out.
Bars, you say, I double dog dare you. That's what Bars, you say, I double dog dare you. See what he said.
Look at the example he gave here of Noah. All right? I've been 30 minutes now. Can you give me 10 more? Just 10. Less than the allotted Southern Baptist 45 minutes. I'll just go for it. If it'll hold your attention. All right? Look at the example the Lord gave. All right? He says, them that diligently seek him. And he says, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. Being warned of God of things not seen yet. Look.
Rain.
It hasn't even rained yet, let alone flood. Things not seen. But God told him. How do you know these things are so? God told him. Well, Noah, God told Noah he was going to destroy the world and to build an ark and save himself and his family. It's going to rain and floods going to come and everybody's going to be destroyed but those are in the ark. All right, did Noah believe God? Get it? Did Noah believe God? How do you know? Yes, he believed. Oh, he was a preacher of righteousness. How do you know? Look at the next word. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. How long do you think it took Noah start working on that ark? Huh? Come on. God said to him, Noah, I'm going to destroy this planet for the flood. And I'm holy. And I'm angry with wicked every day. I hate all workers in this world. Noah, build an ark. Boat, ship. Only place of safety. It is a picture of Christ. The ark of safety. Only those in Christ are going to be spared, saved. Noah, build an ark to hit your family in that ark. Save yourselves and them. How long do you, when do you think he started? Huh? Come on. When do you think he started? Noah took off for the shed. Grabbed his hammer and his nail and his apron, I guarantee you, and tore out of there. Where do I begin? Moved with fear. Being warned of God, diligently seeking. All right. Here I go. Here I go. Diligent means urgent. Diligent means urgent. Diligent means anxious. Diligent means early. Early. If God told him that night, how early you reckon, when do you reckon he woke up? Then when do you think he got up? Think he slept in till 11? Oh, one more. Just one more. He hit the alarm clock on snooze, you know. Two more minutes. You didn't hear the alarm clock did that before. By faith will I see old Brother Bruce Crabtree.
He told me this when he was here for the conference. He said, you know, he said, a man ought to, listen to this. He said, before you see any man's face, you ought to see God.
Before you behold any man's face, you ought to see God. Early. They that, Proverbs 8:17, they that seek me early shall find me. Ladies, girls, and let me use this illustration again, okay? This courting. If a man, a young fellow, says he's interested in you and he loves you, but he's often late in coming over to visit you. He's late picking you up all the time. But if sometimes he doesn't even show up, don't you dare marry him. He doesn't love you.
Don't you dare. If he loves you,
he'll be there early, waiting on your doorstep. Is that a good illustration, or is it not? Huh? Don't marry him. And listen to me, Jesus Christ is no jilted lover.
He's not sitting in heaven waiting, I sure hope they call on me. Huh? He's not standing at the heart door, you know, knocking, and oh, we won't let him in, they're sleeping in. I know the story of the Shulamite maiden. I talked to the church. Gets in a bad way. But the sinner, unbeliever, he's not waiting on us. He doesn't have to save him. He doesn't save anybody. He's not waiting on anybody. He's not waiting on anybody. He's seated on the throne right now. And I tell you what, Scripture says, it says for us to do the knocking. It says us to do the knocking. And you know, and there's another Scripture that says, Perhaps he'll get up and open his door. He doesn't have to. See, that's the urgency of this knocking. He doesn't have to get up. He's sitting down, and nobody, he doesn't have to be disturbed by anybody. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is now. That's Jesus Christ. He's sitting down, and we do the knocking. And he may get up, and he might not. But I tell you what this verse of Scripture says. It says, they that diligently seek him, he'll get up. You want something? Yes! Mercy! Here you go. Come on. That's the way it is. Diligently. Noah moved with fear. He believed, therefore he feared, and he moved, he was in a hurry. You know, the story has it that the Titanic, I got your attention now, don't I? Titanic. Story has it that when that ship, after it struck that iceberg, and by the way, it was hidden, the parts that destroyed it. What? Hidden. But when that boat struck that iceberg, that ship struck that iceberg, the story has it that most people went on doing what they were doing in spite of all the warnings. That many people sat in their in the dining room eating and all that and refused to heed the warning. This boat's going down. That's supposedly true.
Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear. There's a lifeboat. Huh? Where is it? We've been warned and warned and warned, haven't we? Young and old alike. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Christ is the ark. This ship's going down, people. This old world is going down.
see it? It's barely treading water right now today. Get in the ark. Get in the ark.
Says, read on. It says, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Any parent who really believes that this gospel is salvation, that our children must have Christ or forever perish. Oh, my soul. You reckon they'll make them sit in church?
One of those families on that Titanic, there you go, got you again. Titanic, one of those fathers, the boat was going down, he knew it, there's a life preserver, what to do? Get this life preserver on. Where are you going? Quit that foolishness. Come on, man. Get in the ark. This is what Noah, is what the scripture talking about, by the way, is what God told Moses and to do when your children, and when you rise up, when you sit down, and you talk by, walk by the way, remind them, folks going down.
Despite all, look at this. It says he condemned the world. I'm not just preaching at you. I'm not just getting excited. I'm not just gotten into preaching mode, you know, and screaming and yelling. Oh, this is so.
This is faith. This is faith. This is not. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Noah being warned of God, moved with fear.
And it says, and by which he condemned the world. He condemned the world.
He condemned the world. Doesn't matter what everybody, nobody believed like he did. Nobody believed like Noah did. Everybody that passed by said, that's foolishness, didn't it? Noah, what you're doing? You're the only one around here building a boat. What do you need a boat for? That's all you ever do is work on that boat, that ark. That's all you ever talk about, that ark. Noah, you're a fool. I'm going to be a saved fool.
In the world. He was crucified to the world and the world to him. I don't care. No, every day, I don't care what everybody says. I don't care. I don't care how old-fashioned it sounds. I don't care if nobody believes this. I don't care what the newspapers say. God said, I believe him. Bam, 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 bam. Now look at his end. Enoch's end. Here's Noah's end. He became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Oh, my goodness. He started out in a wooden boat. He ended up in a glorious palace. Heaven itself, Christ himself. You know, the Titanic is a... you remember that little short article on the world, you know, taken up with the Titanic. Not long ago, they were taken up with Noah's Ark. You know, those little trinkets that everybody put on their coffee tables and wore on their lapels. But here's a profound thing, isn't it? That we're found in one of those two boats. Isn't that profound? It's true. We're in one of those ships. The luxurious, glorious Titanic. Isn't it beautiful? The man that made this, man-made, oh, glorious There's nothing like that. Impressive. Isn't it impressive what man has done? Now, isn't it impressive? Isn't it beautiful? While it's all glittery and all the glitter is not glittery. This ship is unsinkable.
Unsinkable. That's what they say. Unsinkable.
Let me have a ticket.
Let me on board. Oh, I want to ride that ship
across to the promised land.
I'm on board the Titanic. I'm so impressed.
You're going down. Well, there's old Noah.
A wooden boat. What's that all over it? Tar? Pitch? It's put together with tar? What's on it? Who's on it? Where are they going?
That won't float. One of those boats floated.
He's still floating. It's unsinkable. Huh? We're either on one of those ships or the other.
The world? Oh, isn't it beautiful? Are you impressed with it? You're freaking after it. You're going to ride on it, ride with it, go down. But Christ is the ark. Joe, what's that hymn? 388. 388.